Lord, we do commit the unspoken needs that you have, that we haven't said, Lord, to you. Lord, if there's anything really pressing that hasn't been said, we pray, Lord, there will still be opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And it's only by grace we can enter, Lord. And only by grace can we stand. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us an understanding of that, which is very important. Pray your blessing, Lord, on us this day. What we're going to say may be of you, and may what is said, Lord, be of benefit to us here and to those who listen at another time. All God's people said, Amen. Today is the second Sunday in September, and when I started ministry many fadofado, I started officially on the second Sunday in December, I think it's 26, 27 years ago. It's a long time anyway. And so sometimes I did ask the Lord to see if he'd give me something for the second Sunday in December, or September, I should say, sorry. And I see that as the kind of the beginning of my year, as because that's when I had to take the responsibility of hope, as it was at the time, and now new life. Anyway, and so this is what I have, we'll go with it. As you can see, it will have something of a musical theme. My phrase and my theme is simply what you see on the screen there, which is, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. You may be familiar with the line of it. It comes from a well-known jazz standard, and I'll give you a blast of this. So there you are. For the benefit of the web audience, we have just listened to the very lovely and extremely talented Diana Krall singing the song, Pick Yourself Up, Dust Yourself Off, and Start All Over Again. And my recommendation is watch the video before you listen to the rest of the sermon. So that's our team. And I'll explain as I go along how Diana Krall fits into all of this. But that phrase, I want to link to this scripture. This is the easiest way of putting it. For though the righteous one may fall seven times, he gets up again, but the wicked stumble in adversity. That's from Proverbs 24, verse 16. So you're beginning to see there is even a link already. But I am going to use the New King James Version because it's easier to understand. And it says this. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. And that's the phrase we really want to look at. But the wicked shall fall by calamity. So what has that got to do with pick yourself up, dust yourself up, and start all over again? Well, it has actually a lot to do with it. But the first thing that this verse teaches us is this. And this is an important point. This verse teaches us the imperfection of man, even good men. And we're meaning men in terms of men and women, humanity in general. For a righteous man may fall seven times. The scripture has already built into the fact of the imperfection of us, even in Jesus. And even when we are a new creation, we're still going to struggle with imperfection. And even though we may be in good standing with God, it's only a question of time before there is some fall, some stumble, that something goes pear-shaped. So the Bible already acknowledges that. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. Another version puts it this way. Indeed, a righteous person will fall seven times and then get up again. But the guilty will collapse in calamity. That's from the New English Translation. So in a word, what this verse is teaching us and the concept behind it is simply this. It's only a matter of time before there is some fall or some measure of failure. The question, though, I want to ask this morning is, how do we deal with failure? It's inevitable that something is going to go wrong. We're going to slip up some way, somehow, sometime. Even the most godly of us. So how do we deal with that failure? I want to give you two options. Option number one, I got from the lovely Diana Krall, which is pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. That is one way of dealing with failure. Or you have another option, which seems to be, unfortunately, a very popular option, which is this. One strike and you're gone. If you muck it up, you fail, and you fail publicly, then you're gone. No opportunity to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. But our verse teaches, for a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. So it does offer some hope. It does actually give us an opportunity to do exactly what the song title says. Pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and start all over again. But that is not how most people deal with failure. It's one strike and you're gone. And that concept is as popular outside the church in secular world, but it's also relatively important or seen as a priority in the Christian church. It depends on what the failure looks like. But the point I'm making is the scriptures already acknowledge the fact there's going to be some measure of a fall, a mistake, somewhere along the line, and it has already geared us up how to handle that. That's the first point we're going to make. Now, the question is, why the Diana Krall song? Actually, the Diana Krall song was the means of how, was the bones of how this sermon came together. And I'll explain more to it just in a moment why this song, as opposed to something else, was important, or is important for this. So we begin then with this, and it says this. Nothing is impossible, I have found, for when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, and start all over again. In a word, what that verse is simply saying is this. It's the refusal to quit. And I mean that in the very good sense of the word. Slip up, falls, failures are inevitable. It's how we react to them that really matters. So the writer of this song is saying when this happens, his reaction is going to be a refusal to quit, or as we would say, throw in the towel. That's the first verse of it. The song continues on with this. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. It's inevitable if there is a slip, the first thing that goes is confidence. Because often where there is a failing or a falling or whatever the case may be, we're often shocked if we're the one doing the falling, or we'll land ourselves in trouble, or we're shocked when others do. And it has an impact on confidence. So we say, how could I have done that? Or how could they have done that? Then the next line says, be grateful for a pleasant trip. And we're saying, there's nothing pleasant about that. And we understand the third line. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, etc., etc. But what this verse is actually teaching is simply this. Learn from the fall. Learn from the failure. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip. In other words, I interpret that as there's always something learned to be learned from every experience, even if we are coming out of that experience with some egg on our face, or some of our credibility has been knocked off of us. But the catch line remains the same. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. It's while I was listening to the lovely Diana Krall, and that song just came on as part of a concert, a very good concert in my opinion, and it just came on and it really got my attention. What a wonderful, wonderful line. Actually, quite a good philosophy. So we move on. So pick yourself up. The third verse, and that's all that's in it really. Work like a soul inspired till the battle of the day is won. And what this is talking about here is something that is absolutely crucial, especially if you're down in the dumps or if you really feel that I can't go any further. So what's really important in all of this is the word endurance. It's that ability to be able to hang on in there and hang in there. So work like a soul inspired till the battle of the day is won. And you see, you can only live 24 hours at a time. And so if you win it for today, then you can look at tomorrow, can look after yourself, or you can at least have the energy for tomorrow once tomorrow comes. But today is the day that we have to endure. Goes on to say this. You may be sick and tired, but you be a man, my son. And it's acknowledging of when things do go wrong, and it has a deep impact in our emotions, maybe in our mental health, any number of things, in our financial, it can be anything. And it gets sick and tired. But the advice is, be a man, my son. And what it's talking about there is not macho stuff. It's simply talking about, before I give it the final word, that is, what kind of things wear us out? Well, discouragement. If you are a righteous person and you make some kind of a slip or something goes wrong, you say something you shouldn't say, you do something that you wish you hadn't done, or it could be the reverse. There was something that you could do and you didn't do, and now you're absolutely discouraged. But this is where endurance comes in. And discouragement can be enough to make most people want to give up. And the idea of pick yourself up, dust yourself off, that's the last thing that people want to do. Often with major discouragement. But discouragement is part of the battle. Whether it is in business or whether it's following the Lord, it makes no difference. Every one of us has to deal with discouragement somewhere along the line. And it's inevitable, it's going to come. So discouragement is one thing that causes that. You may be sick and tired. Another thing that really gets people up, and this is why the Lord came after me, is that thing of weariness. You're just tired, and you get tired of just doing it and overdoing it and just doing it again and again and again and again. Just say, I'm sick and tired of doing that. But that's part of the battle, you see. So there's discouragement, weariness. Weariness gets an awful lot of people, and they'll never get to the stage of where they'll have to pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and start all over again. So discouragement has to be overcome. Weariness has to be overcome. Another thing that gets people is fear. There has been some kind of a failure, some kind of a fall, and they're afraid to even try it again in case there's a repeat of the same thing over again. So fear creeps in, and it literally paralyzes them. Maybe for somebody who listened to this, may be involved in business, and things have gone very bad for them, and they're afraid to start again. I'm afraid the very same thing will happen again. So fear can absolutely paralyze us. And many people, some will overcome it, some don't. But to be able to pick yourself up and dust yourself off, you have to be able to do something with fear. And the last one that I want to draw your attention to is that of shame. God forbid any of us would have a perfectionist mindset. But if we have, we're automatically in trouble. Perfection is an impossibility on this earth. giving something your very best, or as John Buchanan says, your almighty best. That is possible. But perfection isn't. If that verse in Proverbs says, a righteous man may fall 7 times, even that alone should give us a warning and give us the heads up or thumbs up that, look, at some stage, there's going to be a bit of a tumble here. And because people haven't that built in and they're not expecting, and then when there's some kind of, as we'll say, some kind of a slip, then there's shame. How could that person do that? And if they don't, if the person doesn't feel ashamed themselves, then you can be sure shame will be put on them. So there are some of the things that you have to deal with when there's some kind of a failure. Now, and the second line of the song says, you may be sick and tired, but be a man, my son. And all it's simply saying is this, to persevere. You have to persevere through those, even discouragement, weariness. Persevere in overcoming fear and persevere in getting rid of shame. If you're going to make some attempt to pick yourself up, dust yourself off and starting all over again. The next line goes on, don't you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? And I'll start off not with a famous man, actually, I'm going to start with a famous woman. For those of you looking there, and that's a photograph of indeed the very, very talented Tina Turner. Now, there's a woman who embodies the very verse that I'm talking about, picking herself up, dusting herself off, and starting all over again. She was a pop star in her 20s. From what we know of her, she had a very abusive marriage. And she had a very tough year, very tough time in her 30s, and ended up with being divorced. And the only thing that she had left, everything else was gone. The only thing that she was left with was her name, Tina Turner. That is all she had. Nothing else. Not a penny to her name. But she started again, and she resurrected her career. She now was in her 40s, and she started recording, and she relaunched. And even when she was 60, she was doing world tours, filling major stadiums all over the world. Walked like a soul inspired till the battle of the day is won. She endured. You may be sick and tired, but be a man, my son. And that's exactly what she did. She refused to give up. She's now retired. And I read an article of her this morning. She said she's happy to retire. And she has done her time in helping people to be happy through her music. But now she wants her own space. Tina Turner, what an amazing example of somebody who had fallen in hard times in this case, and rose again. But we move on. Don't you remember famous men who had to fall to rise again? First example I want to give to you is Samson. See, Samson was born for one thing and one thing only, and that was to defend the people of God in his time. And he was a powerful, strong man. He was almost like a one-man army. But Samson had one weakness, and the weakness was the ladies. Actually, it wasn't the ladies, it was the sex, to be honest with you. And he was strong in every department, but he was weak in saying no to himself. And that eventually landed him in a heap of trouble. And Samson's failure was public. And it was catastrophic. It really was. And he was this man riding high with the Spirit of God upon him, powerful, and he failed. He was captured by the enemy. His eyes were gouged out, and he was brought to Philistine. Samson had no hope, of ever doing anything as far as natural man is concerned. He was a classic example of one strike, and you're gone. But during the years of captivity, his hair grew. We know the story. And he prayed that God would give him one more chance to pick himself up, dust himself off, and start it all over again. Samson was born to be a hero. He was a hero until he fell. He asked the Lord to give him one more go, and his prayer was that he would die a hero. So he has a man who had fallen to rise again. An actual fact, he is listed in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 13 as a man of faith. He picked himself up, dusted himself off, and then he headed for glory. Samson. Next person who had fallen, who rises again. Another, in this case, a woman who was intersex. She sold sex. She was a prostitute. Amazing story talked about her in 2 Joshua. But she lived in Jericho, and that's where she did her trade. And two men of God are sent to spy out the land, ended up in her house. What they were doing there, we won't have to discuss now. But that's where they ended up. And she had this remarkable ability to understand the times that she lived in and understood that this God that she knew nothing about was doing something. And she had no standing in the, obviously, in the community where she lived. At the time in Jericho, probably she would not be welcome in most places. Certainly with her trade, she would be seen as a threat. And she's the kind of person that people write off. But the most remarkable thing about her is, because she was a woman of faith, and she was willing, at great cost to herself, if she got caught, to hire out the two spies, that she became part of the covenant people of God. Oh, she had fallen, but she rose again. A very good example of dust yourself off and starting all over again. Very interesting. Two of them, Samson and Rahab, both got to do with sexual stuff. Last person that I want to highlight to you is this man, Peter. Now, Peter's failure is well documented in the Christian world, but let's put it in everyday language. Peter was literally second to the CEO, the CEO being Jesus. Peter was his number two, to be his number one when Jesus would leave this earth. So you don't get much higher than Peter. But Peter was a righteous man, a godly man. And he's a classic example of falling and failing several times. His failure simply was this. He lied through his teeth. I don't say that to discredit the man in any way. But he lied through his teeth, and he even took a note that he didn't know Jesus. All based because he was absolutely terrified of getting arrested and being put to death. If there was ever a time for one strike and you're gone, that would be the time to have Peter gone and never come back. But that is not how the story ends. Yes, we're well aware of Peter's failure. But we're also aware of the fact that Jesus operated the philosophy, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. Actually, he had to do it with all the disciples, with the exception of Judas. So do you remember famous men who had to fall to rise again? Yes, Scripture has many of them. Failed, but rose again. The question is, how did they overcome? They picked themselves up, dusted themselves off, and started all over again. You may be asking, well, why the Diana Krall song? Well, you can see where I'm going with it now. But you see, when I was watching this concert, the last thing I was expecting indeed would be that the Lord would speak to me, because, you know, he had spoken to me there a few weeks ago. about toughening up, etc. So I wasn't reading that many Christian books because I wanted to give him the edge, you know, in case he'd want to speak again. But anyway, lo and behold, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. As soon as I heard it, it was the only line in the song that I heard over and over. All I could do was laugh and say, I think I've been caught again. And I can't say it was the voice of God, but what I can say is, what came to me was, well, you mightn't listen to me, so we thought we'd give you Diana Krall, and there might be a better chance that you'd listen to the lovely Diana. And in fairness, I have. But you see, it's an example of what it means to toughen up. And I think it's one of the great examples that he could give to me. In life, you're going to have to do this over and over and over. There's no way around it. There are times you're going to have to pick yourself up. You're going to have to dust yourself up and say, all over again. All right, on we go. And that's part of the journey. One strike and you're out. Surely death applies sometimes. I want to be gracious. I want to be merciful. But surely, one strike and you're out. Surely applies sometimes. And the answer is yes, it does. Yes, it does. Proverbs 24, 16 to 18. We're just looking at verse 16. When you put that in the context, it says this. The godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. That we have looked at. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. And even in God's economy, there are times of where there is the concept of one strike and you're out. Oh, it's in there. But it is used pretty sparingly. The godly may fall sometimes, but they get up again. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. And we see that when we see failure and we see people failing, and it happens in political life, it's happened in religious life, it's happened in celebrity life, all manners of life. The next few verses do warn us about something that God does not like in relation to one strike and you're out. Do not rejoice when your enemies fall. Do not be happy when they stumble. God doesn't like that sense of jubilant. Well, good enough him. He's getting what he's deserved and it's coming to him. And that thing of where we feel self-righteous and personal vindication and all that. Don't rejoice. Don't be happy when they stumble. Why? Verse 18. For the Lord will be displeased with you and will turn his anger away from them. There's something in the heart of God that doesn't like us saying, good enough of them, they're getting what deserved, and we feel completely vindicated and we're actually happy that they are fallen and have fallen. He doesn't like it. Oh, it may be one strike and they're out, but he's doing it. But he doesn't like our reaction, if that is the way we react. So pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again. How do we actually do that? And this is where my applications come in. Number one, because God is a God of grace and is merciful and forgiving. Mucked it up. How can you start all over again and actually do what that line says? You can do it because the God that we know is a God of grace. He is merciful and forgiving. And he has already built into the fact that there's going to be failure and muck-ups and mess-ups along the way. He is never surprised by that. We are, but he's not. And he has already catered for us. In terms of his graciousness, in terms that he is merciful and he is forgiving. That's how we're able to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves up and start all over again. That's how it enables Samson and Rahab and Peter. The grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that was given to them. So it wasn't just a matter of just repeating that line as a mantra and just going for it. There was something behind it that was of God and from God, and indeed the very nature of God that is in it. God is a God of grace. He is merciful and forgiving. And just as well. Because if he wasn't, we would be all in trouble somewhere along the line. Number one. Number two. So how gracious and merciful and forgiving are we in modern Ireland, where there is failure and bad judgment? Oh, we pride ourselves in being a modern nation, a pluralist society, a secular society. But how gracious and merciful and forgiving are we in this modern day Ireland? You don't hear many people saying, pick yourself up, dust yourself up, and start all over again. Actually, it's much more the reverse. Number three, how willing are we to give second and third chances to those who have failed us or used poor judgment? Even the best of people, even godly and decent, honorable people, are going to fail. It's inevitable. Somewhere along the line. And so how willing are we going to give them second or third chances? Or is it the concept of one strike and you're gone regardless? You see, for pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again, it does require grace, it does require mercy, it does require forgiveness. Or if you put it in second language, let's give them another chance and see how they get on. At the end of the day, we're all human, we all mess up. That seems to be disappearing from our society at a rapid rate, and it's very concerning, because everyone will need this grace and this mercy and this forgiveness at some stage. Which brings me to my last point. Where would we be today if God hadn't given us second and third chances? The answer would be, we would be written off. But you see, the grace of God already caters for the inevitable failure somewhere along the line. And grace says, I'll give you enough to get yourself going again. I'll give you another chance. I'll give you a third chance. Learn from the mistake and press on. So today, if God is saying to you, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again, what he's saying is, I am a God of grace. Learn from any of the mistakes, whether it's weariness, failure, fear, shame, whatever it is. I am merciful. I'm forgiving. My mercies are new every day. Get up, get going, and move on. That is literally the message of the gospel. So my question in India, I think that's my last point. What right do we have to deny that to others when we have received it ourselves? There are times when even the Lord will operate when striking your gun. It does happen occasionally. But he is much more the other way. But we have experienced this grace of God. We know of his mercy. We know of his forgiveness. And we know what it is to come to him and in failure. So then, what right do we have to deny that to others when we have already received and tasted that grace of how Jesus said, okay, you mucked it up, you are forgiven, I am merciful. No, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. Surely that is one of the central points of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And literally his work is in giving man second, third, and fourth choices and walking through their failures and strengthening them and bringing them on to where they're failing less and less, knowing all the time that is simply his goodness. If we understand the gospel, we'll have no difficulty with the last point. What right do we have tonight to the others? Because we'll say we have no right. And if we feel we have a right, it has much more got to do with self-righteousness than anything else, or possibly a lack of grace on our behalf. So in closing, all right, so this is what the Lord has given me. So what is it that he's saying to me? Well, he's obviously saying several things. Press on, This is a very good way of toughening up. But he's also reminding me in very powerful ways that the gospel is grace. And in your dealings with people, be it in public office, political office, be it in the celebrity world, or be it in normal human life, it is always better to err on the side of being too gracious, too merciful, and too forgiving than to deny people the very thing that we have got ourselves. I would rather be accused standing before God, your man was too gracious, too merciful. I'd rather to be accused of that and have to answer for it than to be too judgmental, too unforgiving, and too ungracious. Because the more I am that way, the less likely I am like Christ. I won't get it right all of the time, but what the Lord is emphasizing again is the gospel of grace is for all people. God does not operate on one strike and you're out. The gospel is that many, many times there's failure, and the blood of Jesus covers it for everyone that is willing to receive it. That is what we have been given. That is what this country needs more than anything else. A forgiving, merciful spirit. There are times of where things are so bad that people have to be removed and not come back. I acknowledge that. But there are many and more times of where we simply just need to be gracious and say, God has given us chances. Let's do the same with them. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again. Lord, it's hard to imagine, Lord, that I could find the gospel in that song. And Lord, it is there in us. Lord, we live in a world that is unmerciful, largely unforgiving, and knows nothing of grace. Lord, we can be so harsh, so judgmental, so critical, Lord. And Lord, the very thing that all of us need is grace. And Lord, often, Lord, in our attitude, we are unwilling to extend it to others. Lord, all the time, Lord, having to understand that it's only by grace that you deal with us. There is nothing else. Should we remove grace, we have no other gospel. And Lord, what you say to people is, I will give you a second, I'll even give you a third chance. Lord, you may not have used the very words of pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start over again. But Lord, we have heard your words. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. And Lord, in closing, Lord, we have had many, many, many years of religious instruction in this country. But Lord, we have to acknowledge our understanding of grace has been very limited, including my own. And our practice of it, Lord, has a long ways to go. Our prayer is, Lord, let you do the judging of where there's one strike and you're out. Lord, let that be your prerogative. But Lord, let us be gracious and merciful and forgiving, knowing, Lord, that we may need it ourselves 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now. And may we be able to extend it to others, in order that we may be able to receive it ourselves when our day comes. And all God's people said, Amen.